Ashley. Welcome, everyone, to Momentum Mastery. As you know, I'm your host, Mary Allen, and I know we've got a few new folks here on the line here tonight, so I want to really welcome you into this community and this forum where each month you have an opportunity to tap into two live conference calls. One is really geared around your success. The second call is really geared around your inner peace. And today's call is actually really ties to both our success and our inner peace. Our topic today is about feeling worthy and owning your value, and as really the key to abundance. So we're really going to be looking at the inside, how our energetic insides can really be affecting what flows in from the outside. So I'm really, really excited about this topic, and really excited too to have this be a much more interactive call than those of you that have been with me since the beginning know. Sometimes we get on a topic and it's just very content rich, and sometimes we do more interaction. So this is definitely going to be one where we're really going to get to explore this topic around worthiness, deservedness, owning our value. And my outcome today is really to have each of you here on the line connected to and walking away with an even deeper sense of what it is to feel even a little bit more worthy and deserving, to be a little bit more connected to your value, what you're bringing to the world. As many of you know, earlier this year, I've been on a five-city tour, the Awakening Beyond Achievement Tour. And one of the five secrets to creating success and inner peace is around expanding your ability to receive. And we really talk about the sense of worthiness and deservingness, and we talked about just how we can resist receiving. And it's almost like there's this invisible barrier that gets in the way of certain things flowing into our life. Money, support, love from relationships, right? And it doesn't even matter how much money we're making, who we are, if we've got, you know, huge status in the world, or if we're really just scraping by. What I've noticed that this question around feeling worthy and deservingness is a vulnerable spot for almost every human being on the planet. And interestingly enough, today I was talking with a client this morning. She's a very successful businesswoman. Her business and her team generates easily at least 50 grand or more a month. She has the most beautiful home on her block, lives in a really gorgeous location. I don't want to say where because I want to protect anonymity. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. And we were talking really about, you know, as much money that is flowing into her life, she's also got a lot of money flowing out of her life. And she's really at a place where she's wanting to get this just really handled, like done with sort of the money trap, even though there's lots of money flowing in, lots goes out, and just, you know, this constantly never really having enough, right? So she had already taken on the idea of working certain emotional muscles, like one of abundance and one of gratitude. And she would go and sit in her yard, her gorgeous yard, and just, you know, spend a few minutes sitting there. It was easy for her to connect to abundance because, wow, here's abundance all around, and gratitude for all that was in her life, her dog and her daughter and her husband and so forth. But we started exploring today because she really wanted to address this money issue is worthiness. And as successful as she was, when we started going there, she's just like, you know, it's like almost like gasping for air, right? Like, I don't know how to find that. I don't know where that is. And she had childhood stuff where, you know, things would be given to her and then they would be taken away, and, you know, certain opportunities, not allowed to do this and that, you know, sort of that message of not good enough. And I suspect that if we talked to every single person here on this line tonight, that we would recognize that, like, almost all of us have some kind of story like that. You know, maybe, you know, we weren't picked number one to be on the kickball team, or you know, our parents said, well, no, you can't do it that way. We get an idea of, wow, the way you did it wasn't good enough, right? So there's just thing after thing that kind of feeds into our consciousness. And we get this whole idea, too, that, well, you don't want to be too big for your britches. It's not good to toot your own horn or say that, you know, I'm fabulous and wonderful and great. It's like, no, that's not cool either. You know, so we're taught to have humility, and we're taught to minimize ourselves and put ourselves down and, you know, not be, you know, high and mighty and better than everybody, right? So, like, we've got this programming and conditioning that seems to be pretty pervasive. So what I'd love to do is just, you know, first, just as you're listening here, to step into the question, if I were just coaching you one-on-one and asked you the question, how worthy and deserving do you feel? Like right here in this moment, whatever it is that you next want to receive more of, maybe it's expanding your business, maybe it's experiencing greater inner peace in your life, maybe it's welcoming more love and intimacy into your world, maybe it's, you know, having the support of a team. Like whatever it is, like really just to stand in that question for a minute, you know, how worthy and deserving are you? And to see, you know, if I were to ask you to rate on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, how worthy and deserving are you to really receive all that you desire? Just kind of sitting with that. When you hear that question, how worthy and deserving are you, who would be bold enough to share with us, you know, what your experience is, whatever that may be?
All right, this is Michael.
Okay, Michael, I was just about to call on you. You could feel me, like, sending energy. I know, this is like one of those questions, right? Like, oh, that's what I want to talk about, how worthy and deserving I feel.
It varies.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you want something, and you really want it bad, or you want something to happen, and it doesn't happen, and you start to have little doubts of, oh, am I really worthy of this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so it can come in and out. So tell me about, like, so when do you feel most worthy and deserving? Just to step into that question. What are you focusing on when you are feeling most worthy and deserving?
When I feel most worthy and deserving. When I feel most worthy and deserving is right after I've received.
Ah, interesting. So this is so beautiful, isn't it? Like really great.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting a momentum going.
Mm-hmm. Like it's like once we have the validation of, you know, something tangible, somebody hands you, a $100 bill, or maybe they write you a check for $1,000 or $5,000, you know, whatever it may be, right? A gift. It's like, ah, now I can feel worthy and deserving.
Yeah. And actually, I was actually thinking about people who are looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you when you're looking for work, and you're applying for jobs, you know, and you're not getting responses, and you start wondering, well, maybe I'm just not good enough.
Right. Yeah.
And then you get an interview, and it goes really well, and then you start feeling like you're on top of the world, and that, hey, it's coming.
Yeah, right. Right, and it's like how much does, you know, where we are with that vibration around worthy and deservingness do you think affects, you know, who ends up getting the offer from that job interview?
Well, based on personal experience?
Yeah.
I'd say when I feel that I deserve the job, I get it.
Right. And when you don't?
I didn't feel that I deserved the job. I there was something that didn't go well in the interview. I recognized that they were looking for something that that I didn't, a qualification that I didn't really quite meet, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we could lie to ourselves, but we know when we're a good fit for a job, you know?
Yep, exactly. Yep. And there's something, it actually reminds me, last week I was interviewing Arielle Ford for my Ultimate Impact series. She was one of our guest experts for that program. And when she first got into doing publicity for authors, she had done quite a few different things, but somehow like felt kind of drawn to get into publicity. And Deepak Chopra he actually first self-published a book, but then she heard him speaking somewhere and she, you know, said to a friend or whatever that, you know, Deepak Chopra, it's like, you know, I think, you know, he's got something. And she ended up calling him up and having a meeting with him. And even then he was very busy and he's like, you know, well, he said to her something like, well, I only have, you know, like, you know, 10 minutes to give you. And she's like, that's fine because I'll only need 5. And she basically came in with the sense of, you know what, I recognize you're a smart man. You need to hire me. And that was about the extent of the conversation. And 2 seconds later, he's like, okay, great. And that started a 12-year relationship. And really, you know, coming from kind of that grounding of that worthy and deservingness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, something really to ponder with. So thank you for sharing your, you know, and I think you're speaking for a lot of other people here, both on the listening line and those that are listening to this on CD or MP3, that it's like, wow, you know, there's sometimes I really feel it and sometimes I really don't. And like my client this morning, whew, it's like almost, gosh, can we get off this topic? This is really uncomfortable to even look at that. And as she put out to me, it's like, well, how can we access it? So that's kind of the next question for everyone here listening in is, you know, how can we access a sense of worthy and deservingness, right? Like, what images do we need to call forth in our mind? What allows us to step into a feeling of worthy and deservingness before somebody has given us something, right? Because, I mean, if people aren't giving us something, well, that, there's a whole lot of other times when we might not be tapping into that vibration. And if we want to see, if we notice that there's a strong correlation between our own sense of worthy and deservingness and owning our value and how much we're able to allow into our life in terms of money and love and support and opportunities and who knows what else, right? We might want to consciously flex it. So if we think about what images, we'll put this out. Michael, you're welcome to answer. I know we've got a few others. How could you access a sense of, like right here and right now, a sense of worthy and deservingness for no reason? What images would you bring to mind? Go for it, Michael.
All right. I think that, again, I'm speaking from my personal experience. Getting that mindset is very much it's actually a gratitude exercise, where instead of focusing on what's around you and the people around you, you start to focus on what it is that you have and what's great about yourself and what skills you have and what experiences, positive experiences that you've had in the past. These really bring out great feelings, great memories, and they can really help you build up.
Yes. So I couldn't agree more that I think this is one of our number one places to start is a complete inventory. We can even begin to do that here on the line tonight is really take an inventory. You know, what are your gifts? How have you contributed in the past, either through a paid job, through a volunteer role, anything that has been perceived as a value? Like, to make a really complete list of that. What are those positive experiences? And really, and you also pointed to a really key thing, and that is the feeling. You know, how did it really feel knowing you created that impact? Like, I'm going back and thinking, one of my previous jobs in life was as a technical recruiter. I lived in Dallas, Texas, and it was one of the booms where there were a lot of computer programmers, and we would place people at companies. And if I'm really honest, you know, part of what we would do is we would really prepare somebody well for the interview. We would also prepare the client really well to receive the client. And in the process of that, play a role in this person often getting a raise, getting moved to, you know, an even better opportunity for them. Yeah, so really, really taking acknowledgement of the value that was created there that would justify the fee that we got back then. So we might also look at, there's two sides of worthiness and deservingness. And I think there's one side to really acknowledge and point out is something that's where there's really an accomplishment. There's something earned, right? There's something you did, something tangible that we could point to and say, ah, that's a value. If somebody is a therapist or a coach or in any kind of a consulting type role, there's value in holding space for somebody to get clear. There's value for helping them see new perspective. There's value in helping them transform turmoil into inner peace, for example, right? There's value in holding somebody's vision so that they can believe it for themselves, right? There's some things that are, you know, really tangible. We can look at movie stars. There's value in entertainment, right? Really getting people inspired and entertained. That's why those people can be paid really well. You entertain super well, your price tag goes up and up and up, right? You know, good teachers, you know, inventors, right? Value in creating something brand new that can create a big impact. So we can see one side is related to accomplishment, something that is earned, something that society values at large, right? So that's one piece of it. But then there's another piece, and I think this is the bigger stretch for a lot of people, is the worthy and deservingness just because. And for here, we might call to mind some images like thinking of a child that is getting the support and love, let's say, from Mother Teresa. Did that child do something to earn her attention? Yeah, maybe not so much, right? Or many of you have pets, right? You know, do you have to do something really to earn the affection and attention and the waggy tails or the purring cats from your pets? Or do you get to receive the joy from that just because? You know, the love of a child, a spouse. I mean, typically, that unconditional love, there's a sense of worthiness and deservingness I think most of us maybe aren't conscious and aware of. But we might call an image like that to mind. Really imagine it's just receiving for the sake of receiving. Or receiving a massage from a partner, not because you're paying them, but just because they're wanting to give it to you. So we might even imagine, so here's another little visualization for each of you, is to imagine that you are standing on a stage or in front of a room full of all the people in your life that love you. Parents, family members, friends, coworkers, colleagues, pets, birds, you know, anyone that you've serviced, clients, right? And just imagine yourself standing in front of the room and all of them just sending you love and support for no reason. Like, you don't need to stand there and stand on your head or, you know, do a fancy trick, like on America's Got Talent, nothing crazy, but really all you need to do is show up and be that who you are is worthy and deserving of that attention. And that may be a stretch for maybe some of us, all of us here on the line, but here's what I know to be true, is that as we can begin to drop in and flex those feelings of worthy and deservingness, our capacity to receive and thus be able to pass more on to others grows exponentially. Some of you have heard me share the story of one of my other clients who first came to me. He would be really, really stressed out at the beginning of each year. He happened to be in commercial real estate in a sales role. He did pretty well financially, so he made just under $1 million of income. It's like kind of like, oh, darn, you know, only making just under $1 million. But his plateau, his place of worthy and deservingness was sort of capped just under that amount, right? He had an invisible barrier right there. It doesn't matter if the barrier's at the $1 million mark, at the $100,000 mark, at a $25,000 mark, at the $80,000 mark. Like, we all have an invisible barrier. So you may just check in with yourself, where is your invisible barrier right now currently? And then, as my client did, we actually worked on a variety of emotional muscles, but one of them was around worthy and deservingness. And so each week he rated himself on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, around how worthy and deserving he was feeling that way and allowing himself to feel into. And that was, of course, the lowest score of all the things on his emotional muscle list, you know, anywhere from a 4 or 5, then it would get up to 6, 7. But, you know, the rest of his scores then were 9s and 10s, and he was still like, this worthy and deservingness was elusive to him. But he continued to work at it just a little bit each day, just taking a 1 to 2 minutes each day and dropping in to a sense of worthy and deservingness. And interestingly enough, it was actually about 18 months that he went from that just under $1 million to $4.5 million. And when I got together with this client and another client for it was a quarterly planning meeting here at the Ritz-Carlton in Laguna Beach, my one other client was very, very curious. It's like, okay, you know, you just quadrupled your income here. What did you do? You know, what do you attribute to this gigantic leap? And he came back, he'll never forget, said, I firmly believe that people receive what they feel worthy and deserving to receive. He had so consciously flexed that, and it wasn't something he just did once and, you know, one coaching session or two coaching sessions. It wasn't, you know, something he just did one time. It was something that every single week he was very conscious in checking in around his level of worthy and deservingness. That, you know, once or twice a day for a minute or two, not a long time, right? We just need to connect in with those feelings just a little bit more each time. And so that frequency grew inside of him so that all of the physical work he was doing on the outside could manifest into great abundance, right? And really, really connecting in there. So I was talking with my client today, you know, it's not that we just work on the emotional side, but the emotional side is a huge core piece around feeling worthy and deserving. And we also have the physical side, taking responsibility and consciously creating value that is recognized in society. If we do something that we think is a value and no one else does, well, we can say, but I am worthy and deserving. I am worthy and deserving. It's like, well, ultimately we need to mesh the two together. So we want to look at the emotional side. We want to look at physically, you know, what really is a valuable contribution to the world. And we also want to look from the belief level. And we'll actually put this question out too. What do you need to believe around a sense of worthy and deservingness. In order to receive beyond your current invisible barrier, what would you need to believe about yourself, about your gifts, about your strengths? Could you shift a belief? Could you find a belief that was in more an alignment? So let's look at what are your gifts, strengths, and values. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And we've got some more folks on the line here. I'm going to just check in our webcast. Great. And here's somebody else who added in, I know what I am worth, but sometimes fear others won't see it. And this is a great one around belief, right? Because our belief, if we believe that others won't see the value, that belief we can see right there could be like a little trap to kind of keep projecting it away. Well, I believe others don't see it. What would you need to focus on? This would be my question for this guy or gal in the forum. What would you need to focus on to believe that others could recognize the value that you're bringing, that could recognize your worthy and deservingness? And part of it can be, too, that if we know our own worth, sometimes if we think other people don't see it, we'll kind of keep ourselves a secret. So we'll, you know, not let people know we have products and services available. We're not, you know, we don't make ourselves readily available for people to have access. And so it might not be that they don't see the value in you. They just might not know that your services even exist or what you're capable of.
This is Michael?
Yeah, Michael.
Can I chime in a little bit here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Regarding fear, somebody once told me that fear is actually an acronym, and it stands for false evidence appearing real.
Love it.
And I thought, wow. And since then, every time I'm facing fear, inevitably I think about it, and I actually realize, you know what? I'm building this future in my head that hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
And probably won't.
Right.
Because statistically, 80% of everything we worry about never actually happens.
Exactly. Exactly. And another great thing to point to here about fear is, can you access fear without thought? Is it even possible to experience fear without some kind of underlying thought? Like we might just say, oh, well, I'm going to step into fear. So we could just embrace the emotion or the frequency of fear. But almost always it's going to be tied to some, exactly what you're saying, some thought about the future that's not, might not even come to be. Love that. False evidence appearing real. Well, so Michael, since we got you in the hot seat, let's just take inventory. What are your gifts? Let's take these one at a time. What are your gifts?
Well, it's really interesting that you're asking me that question, because lately I've been asking myself that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody recently suggested, and I've known this from before, but sometimes, you know, you need somebody else to point this out to you, because you don't necessarily remember to think about these things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they suggested I do is something called a personal 360 assessment,
mm-hmm.
where I've developed a series of four questions that I ask everybody I know.
Great. Do you have those four questions?
Yes, I do, actually.
Oh, good.
You want to hear them?
I do.
All right. Well, the first question that I ask is, when you think of me, what do you see or feel is my best quality?
Beautiful.
Sometimes we don't realize what our best quality is to other people. We may think that something is our best quality, when in fact everybody else is perceiving something completely different.
Absolutely.
And without that awareness, we can't focus on what is truly our gifts.
Yep. Yep. And I couldn't agree more. I think it's a beautiful way to really discover your gift is by taking inventory and asking those people that know you most, because it's true, we're sometimes just not aware of, you know, we're just being ourselves, right? And that's the whole point, is when we're really giving our gift, we are just being ourselves. So that's the good news. You know, the good news is you're not needing to contort yourself into something you're not in order to give your gift. That's kind of goes counter definition. So what's the second question?
The second question is, what is it about me that you find irritating or annoying? Because sometimes we're not aware of what is actually working against us.
Mm-hmm. Another great, great question, another insightful question. So what is it that you find irritating or annoying?
About me, yes.
About me, yep.
Those are two questions I need to be asking too.
Excellent. And you said there were four, so are there two more?
Yes, there are two more.
Okay.
The third one is, what do you think makes me approachable?
Beautiful.
And actually, when that question was offered to me, I got the idea of, well, if I don't know what makes me approachable, maybe I could figure out what makes other people approachable. And so I started thinking, well, I could go to shopping centers, I could go to restaurants, you know, donut shop or whatever, and just sit there and watch people. And in my head, imagine which one of these people are approachable and which one are not.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least which one seem not to be approachable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been my experience just walking down around our neighborhood that people that you've seen for many years that, you know, always look very serious, very, you know, focused, very, sometimes even, you know, upset looking, you just say hello to them and their whole posture and their face lights up and they smile and they look like a completely different person.
Right, right, yep. So
sometimes,
true.
Sometimes what doesn't look approachable can actually be very approachable.
All right. Yep, exactly. Another great, great question. And what's the fourth question?
I actually got three questions, but then the fourth one I got from somebody else because I was trying to figure out, well, I want to do some public speaking, and I need to come up with topics to talk about, but I don't know what people would be interested in hearing me talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me the fourth question, which is, what is one thing that sticks in your mind that you've got from a conversation that has helped make a positive difference for you?
Oh, great question. So what is one thing that sticks out in your mind that's made a positive difference for you? Love that as a question. And very revealing, too, around gifts. Love
yes,
that.
Yes, and in fact, I've been asking that question, and I've actually been very surprised at some of the things people have told me, you know, things that I just rattled off at some point, and they took it to heart, and it's made a huge difference in their life.
Yep.
And I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is beautiful because it kind of circles back to one of our next questions, which is, what value do you give the world? So we're going to actually go there in a minute. I just want to say just one more word around gifts is, if you're listening here and feeling like, you know, I'm not sure what my gift is, excellent to go and do like a little 360 and just asking these questions. And then as you're getting the answers, seeing kind of what they all have in common. Is there something that people are saying more than once? So those are great clues. And then the other thing about giving your gift is, I was talking about this with Arjuna on, we had a couple conference calls last week, and that is, when you're really giving your gift, it's just, you're really just allowing yourself, your essence, to run through you and be expressed. And it could be in the form where maybe there's a talent also being expressed, but it's really, you're just being who you are. I don't know how many people watch America's Got Talent. I ended up getting hooked on this season, and in watching the grand finale, little Jackie Evancho, who is 10 years old, who sings, she's got this gorgeous voice singing opera here at age 10. But what's really her gift, we might say, is singing. But I would venture to say that the real gift is that she's able to allow her essence to be fully expressed through her voice. You get who she is way above and beyond words, songs, everything else. And that's sort of the essence of gift giving. So, Michael, as you circle back around with this inventory, is really get that ultimately giving our gift isn't about doing. It's really more about who you are. And when we're not protecting and, you know, covering that all up, that's really when that gift can shine the most.
What it ultimately comes down to is a shift from being in your head to being in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because in your head, you're just going to fill yourself up with all kinds of confusion. What's in your heart is truly who you are, and you can only be authentic from your heart.
Exactly. So I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, so I don't know how many people you've asked yet on your questions, but if you were to just right off the cuff, what would you name as what could be a possible gift of yours? Like one, two, three, whatever comes to mind. What's a gift?
Well, the number one gift that keeps coming up, one conversation after another, seems to be my patience. Apparently people, and I've been told this to my face many times, have rarely met someone who's got as much patience as I have.
Mm-hmm.
And they so appreciate that when having conversations with me.
Mm-hmm. Good. And when you say patience, patience is, in essence, presence. You are showing up. You're holding this space. And patience is one way to label or identify it.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Another one would be resourcefulness.
Resourcefulness, beautiful.
And that's really important sometimes when the person you talk to is feeling very unresourceful.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need to get unblocked, but they don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily something that you can figure out. When you don't know, it's not that you don't want, it's that you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Another good one.
Being upbeat and positive.
You know, and by the way, that's a big one. That was one that came up for me when I was doing inventory as well. Enthusiasm was a big one. And often, at least, I don't know how it is for you, if you appreciate and own your gift of being upbeat and positive, like really getting what a gift that is for people, how contagious that is. If somebody's feeling droopy and down, when somebody brings that positive energy and that upbeatness, it's contagious.
And oh, yeah.
And the truth is that whoever is more committed to their emotional state will ultimately influence the other.
Indeed.
So.
I don't know if you've ever, well, I'm sure you've been to many events where there's been public speakers.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you get a public speaker who's talking like this, and then it's like that, and you just want to take a nap.
Right, right.
Then you get a speaker who's energetic, is interactive with the crowd, and just really excited, and you can feel that person's passion just coming through.
Yeah.
And you come out of there and you're roaring to go. You're ready to hit the pavement. You're ready to talk to people. You're ready to make things happen.
Yep.
And really, you didn't do anything different. You just sat there and listened.
All right. Yep. That's exactly right. It's very much an osmosis type of an experience. So something really to get, you know, everyone here, as you're listening, here's your opportunity to really be reflecting on your own gifts, your own strengths, and really connecting in with the value of each one, the value of being upbeat and and positive. Or let's say something opposite, something that's more, you know, quiet but methodical and detail oriented. Well, what's really the strength and the gift in that? Right? Well, we need detail people. We need somebody that can calm, can have a calming presence as well. So one of the other resources I'd love to put out is around finding your strengths. And there's an awesome book called Strengths Finder 2.0. If you could buy the book off Amazon or pretty much any bookstore, and in the back of the book there's a little code, and you go online with that little code and you take an assessment about your strengths. It's really quite absolutely fascinating to just objectively go through, do this assessment, and see, you know, what are those top five strengths? Once they're identified, then the opportunity is, you know, this call is about owning your value, right? So it's not just about intellectually knowing about it. That's the first step. But then it's about feeling it into your body and your being, really getting that value. Sometimes the habit can be to minimize oneself. Thinking of, there's a gal, Elizabeth Marshall, who is a total connector type. In fact, the day I met her at was a National Speakers Association conference in San Diego, and right away, I'm getting introduced to Alec Mandozian and Jack Canfield and then Lori Morgan Ferraro and Tim Kelly, like all of these, Michael Port, like right away, it's like, oh, you know, meet so-and-so. And I have actually done business now with, well, not quite Jack Canfield yet, but we may have him for conversations with the masters here in the future. But I've done now business with every single one of those people as a result of that connection. So is there value? She's just being her, connecting away. Oh, meet this person. Oh, meet this person. But those relationships bridge the gap for new relationships to emerge, new, whether business opportunities, friendships. So whatever it is that you find as your strengths is really then the next challenge is to really drop in and connect and get how valuable that is. So first one, what are your gifts? So Michael, you've done a great job being here in the hot seat with me today. Thank you. Then strengths. What would you name as a couple strengths of yours?
Well, I thought we just finished talking about our strengths.
Yeah, well, my strength. Yeah, so, you know, and actually here in this context, we're talking gifts and strengths kind of in the same conversation. So we could still,
oh, okay.
Yeah, we could say gifts. So your gift is kind of who you are, your presence. A strength might be more of a quality, like being a connector. I'm totally a connector type person. That's, I would say, one of my strengths is connecting people. I do that through conversations with the masters. If you ever meet me at an event, I will introduce you to everyone that I know at the event. I'm a great networker. You need to know somebody, just give me a call, an email. I'll connect you to the right resource. And then to get that each quality is different than just a presence, right? So strengths and gifts being two different things. And then the last piece is, what's the value? What's the value that you give the world? And here's really where your homework assignment for this week comes in. What is the value you give the world? And I'd like you to brainstorm all of the ways that you create value in the world. And look at it from your profession. Look at it through your relationships. How do you bring value in relationships? How do you bring value to the community? And really invite yourself into that as a full-on question. And then I've got just two more things, and we'll work to wrap up here for today. And this question, and Michael, I'm going to pull you back in.
My pleasure.
You're my guy today. So the question is, who is somebody that you perceive as somebody totally worthy and deserving? So really just stand in that question, like, and really what we're looking for, what are our rules around feeling worthy and deserving? What has to happen to feel totally worthy and deserving? So I don't know if there's somebody that comes to mind, or a what has to happen for anyone to feel totally worthy and deserving.
That's a very good question.
And I'm going to check our little webcast, see if we've got anyone that wants to contribute there?
I guess they'd have to be. They'd have to feel good about themselves first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you don't think that you're deserving or that you're worthy, nobody else will.
Right.
Or very few people will.
Mm-hmm.
It has to start from inside.
Yeah. Right. And it almost doesn't matter. I know, like, we could go to the place of somebody that has worked really hard, right? But if they're not, like, feeling good about themselves, you can almost see there occasionally some celebrities where, well, sometimes some of the younger teenage pop stars that, you know, get all this fast media attention and rise quickly, you can tell they don't feel good about themselves, right? They don't feel worthy and deserving of their success. They're sort of in conflict with it. And I think, Michael, you just nailed it. Ultimately is how they feel about themselves.
Yes, and that's when they start to sabotage their careers because it's not congruent with their blueprint of how things should be.
Yep. Absolutely. That's a big piece. Well, and this is, we'll kind of lead this into a story about my husband and then also a second assignment for tonight. My husband is a confident man, let's say it that way. And I love to acknowledge and appreciate him for who he is and when he does things. And, you know, so whatever he's done, whether he's done something to help around the house or he's just cooked up a fabulous something on the barbecue or whatever it is, I'm like, oh, my gosh, the swordfish was just cooked so perfectly. Thank you so much for helping prepare such another delicious meal. And John will take that, and instead of doing what many people do, which is minimizing a compliment or an acknowledgement, he'll come back with the, yeah, I know, I'm a great guy, huh? And it's a little bit of a joke, but it's actually, like, authentic. You really get that he knows that, hey, I'm a good guy. I did good. I agree. This was good. And so we've got this little, like, bantering back and forth around, yeah, I'm a great guy. I know. Or even if one of us does something that is feeling like it's worthy of acknowledgement, we'll say, you know, I did good, huh? And just to come right out and own it. And so what I'd like to invite for the coming week as a piece of homework is to really take on this practice of, it's like, I'm great. I did good, huh? And even if you're only saying it to yourself or you may say it out loud, but just really to take in and allow yourself to step into, like, I'm great. I did that. And I'm seeing, hang on here, we got, I think this might be Stephanie. You've got a question or a comment?
Yes, Mary. I just wanted a point of clarification for myself.
Sure.
When you talk about what are the rules around feeling worthy and deserving and what has to happen,
mm-hmm.
worthy and deserving, more on a spiritual level, would you say that everyone, everything is worthy and deserving just for being?
I think that is a really, really useful belief, yeah. Like, everyone is worthy and deserving, at the very least, of love and respect and human dignity, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got another overlay. They're worthy of the other overlay, which we may say around abundance. We've got a society that, okay, we've got a monetary system that places value on things, right? If you mm-hmm. are a doctor performing heart surgery, the value that society places on that is large, right? We're willing to pay heart surgeons lots of money, right?
Right.
But if we compare that same heart surgeon to, let's say, a 13-year-old girl, are both of them equally deserving of love, of respect, of dignity?
I would say yes. Their contributions might be different in the world, but as just baseline human beings, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I would completely agree. really all of us have that baseline. And then the monetary side, you know, we might say, is that 13-year-old worthy of the same finances? And if she connected in with two things, really feeling great about herself and her gift to the world, and working at something that was valued in the world. So, like, actually, little Jackie Ivanko, 10 years old, right? That gal's probably going to make more than a lot of heart surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's giving her gift fully, and she's really just, you know, she's just got such a beautiful way of just owning her own beingness,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? So, equally worthy and deserving.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just wanted, if I can, share a brief story.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So recently at work, I've taken on this project of kind of shifting the staff and whatnot to a more positive outlook. And so I've taken on this project, and I sent my boss an email kind of updating her on what's been going on and where I am in the progress of this project. So she sent me an email back, and in it she wrote, "You encourage me to become better." And the part of the story that I found very interesting was my reaction to it. And it really took me a while to say, you know what, Stephanie, take it for what it is and not interpret it in any other way but what it is. Because at first I actually was uncomfortable with that comment.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it, and I felt like, you know, maybe it was a political move on her part. And it took me a little while to say, you know what, I have to just receive it as it is.
Yeah. And, you know, I just so appreciate you saying this, because I think that this is really often what we do more often than not, is when people are acknowledging us, we'll go to the place of, oh, you know, oh, that? Or we'll take it in at some percentage, but it's not a full-on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll think, oh, well, they're just saying that because maybe they're wanting something from me later.
Right.
Right, there's like lots of ways. Or what's the impact on having somebody be inspired to be a better person? Like, that's pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody steps into being a better person for themselves, how are they going to feel about themselves? It's raising their self-esteem. It's potentially creating a ripple effect where they go out and impact more lives.
Mm-hmm.
How do they treat their loved ones?
Right.
Right? Like, there's such mm-hmm. a huge, and when we start to connect and get kind of down into the details, like, Stephanie, really, there's a huge opportunity to allow yourself to feel really good.
Right, about that.
About that as a gift. And that's really where your opportunity is over the coming week or two, to allow yourself to really receive that acknowledgement and own those gifts. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why people pay even thousands of dollars to work with some coaches when they're really good at inspiring people to be, you know, their best version of themselves.
Yeah, but I'm finding that I have to grow into that. I was shocked, actually, that I was uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially how she worded it. It took me a little bit to just accept it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I so appreciate that honesty, and I think that's really the first step, is to just see, you know, kind of back to where we started at the beginning of the call. It's just, you know, where are we with our sense of worthiness and deservingness and owning our own value? And if we can see that, you know, just as my super successful client that's making 50 grand a month and has a thriving business and really doing really great things in her community, and it doesn't matter who it is, everybody's got that same sense of, gosh, you know, am I good enough? Do I really deserve to have kind of the next level?
Mm-hmm.
Do I really get to feel good about who I am and what I'm offering the world? And I say yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, and Stephanie, what's one of the ways that you bring value? So you just pointed to one, but what's another way that you bring value in the world?
I think I try to be positive in my interactions with others. I try to always look for that silver lining, and when I interact with people, I try to show them what's good about them and what's positive about them,
mm-hmm.
the situation.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a beautiful thing, to shine light on what's positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this coming week, for you, Stephanie, for all of our listeners, those of you listening in on the webcast, your assignment for the coming week is, number one, to brainstorm all the ways that you bring value to the world, to your career or business, to your loved ones, even to yourself, like really even getting, you know, the value that you bring to yourself, making sure you eat well, exercise, get a good night's sleep, really just connecting into this. All of this connects with, you know, our sense of value. And then, you know, the second piece of homework is, we talked about the emotional muscle of worthy and deservingness. And so just to take on spending a little bit of time each day, like a minute or two, it doesn't need to be long, like connecting in and feeling a sense of worthiness and deservingness for what's next coming into your world. And so if it feels uncomfortable, kind of breathe through that until you can find a sense of peace with that. And then the third piece is to take on this practice and, I would say, at least a couple times a day, make a really, really super big deal. So at least once a day, if not two or more times, you can be an overachiever in this one, at least once a day for the next couple weeks is really make a big deal about something you do. Meal you made, an interaction that you had with somebody, just to really make a big deal about, wow, you know, I handled that great. I just did an amazing meal. Or I just made the bed perfect. I just walked the dog. Like, make a big deal about the little things, because it's all part of flexing those muscles. Just like I mentioned, you know, how the casual exchange with John, it's like, yeah, I'm great, huh? And really owning that. So this is definitely an assignment that where the real magic happens in between the calls. All of this will be kind of just a call about worthy and deservingness, owning your value. But the real work is, you know, goes on inside of your own being. So I really invite, challenge, nudge, cajole, entice you to go and explore what's possible, you know, with this set of tools. So as we wrap up, let's just take a couple gems, golden nuggets. What are you taking of value from today's call?
Well, the main thing is that, I was thinking about what you were saying about your husband, how he makes a big deal about what he does, or that he is this or he is that. I think I've been doing that for a long time.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Good.
But I've become very humble now about doing it, because I would go to work. I was a school counselor for 30-some years, an adult counselor.
Uh-huh.
And my gift that I thought I had, that I know I had, was the gift of encouragement and the gift of acknowledgement with people I meet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really came into being in 2003 after I had my last surgery on my hip, because I used to go down in the physical therapy room to talk to the people who was going through therapy who have had knee operations and hip operations, because I had four hip operations, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
I found out that by going through all that experience, I could be of service to those who are catching all kind of trouble doing physical therapy, because a lot of people give up, and then that's the worst thing you can do. The doctor cuts out the part, but physical therapy gets you back on your feet again, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think from growing up, from my mother, and sometimes I wonder if that a curse, sometimes is it a blessing, because she always said, carry yourself at all times as if you have $1 million.
Oh, there's another beautiful tip.
And I carry myself that way, and people, they assume and they think a whole lot of things, you know? Because she said if you carry yourself in such a manner, you will always be able to get. Because some people are going to give you something because they think you have something, even though you don't have anything.
Right.
But you go, you carry that appearance. And like, oh, like I, when I first got on the phone tonight, I say, I'm fantastic. I say that all the time.
Oh, love it, love it,
I'm great. Planned a better day myself. Every day I say that, you know?
Yeah, well, I love that you're saying that. And I think very inspiring for everyone listening here.
You know, I'm doing a lot of reading nowadays. You know, I read Kiyosaki, I read
yep.
Jim Rohn, you know, I read doggone John Maxwell. And I thought I knew a whole lot, but I come to find out I didn't know anything at all because I had a formal education.
Right, right.
Like Jim Stone, a formal education will get you a job, but a personal education would do wonders for you, you know? And I'm finding out that I'm getting more wiser now. It's my age, and I'm 73 years of age.
Wow, wow. I'm going to just jump right in here because we're going to wrap up here. Totally acknowledge you, really, for sharing that because I think these are excellent contributions here at the end of our call of really owning yourself as though you're worth $1 million, priceless. And Claude, I can see it's going to be easy for you to practice over the coming week because you're already practicing it. Here's where the opportunity is really to connect the dots into kind of that next level of owning your value. Other gems and takeaways?
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, I think that it all needs to start with us giving ourselves permission to feel worthy and deserving.
Yeah.
And opening ourselves up to contribution and growth, contribution being what you have to offer to others, and growth being what you're open to receiving from others.
Yep, absolutely. Beautiful. And Stephanie?
Yes?
What are you taking from tonight?
Feeling it. I think the thing I'm going to work on this next week is really beginning to internalize the feelings of worthy and deservingness.
Mm.
So moving it from a mental to really an emotional embracing.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for underlining that very important point. Fantastic. So we're going to just wind up for tonight. I just want to thank all of you, especially those of you that chimed in with your contributions here tonight. Really appreciate that and looking forward to our next call. Have a wonderful evening and we'll see you then.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.